This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 26. The tunnel air was fetid, warmer than the cool night on the surface. Tom looked over his shoulder as he descended the ramp and took a last look at the sky, a dark slit between roof and the upward sloping floor where his torchlight had no purchase. Footsteps, his own, co-mingled with the sound of running water. The ground was solid rock, the walls smooth and cold and close. Tom had to keep his arms tight to his body to avoid them scraping either side of the narrow passage. Ahead, the beam fanned out to light the smooth rock panelling the tunnel. He clutched the stone heart in his right hand. Its power to shift the world from the present to the tangled emotions of his past, both terrifying and delicious. He understood now that he was no ordinary boy. In what way he was special, Tom could not be certain. Was he really part of the family in his head? He brought his fist into the light, uncurled his fingers, looked at the pendant, and tried to conjure the memory he knew he had of this place. It was there, in his racing heart, the sweat on his forehead, the pull of fear tugging at his legs to slow him down. He was frightened. No. Terrified. If the ruin above Craigham was his home, this place was his hell. But when he dredged his mind for a map, for some idea of what lay ahead, it brought nothing but unconnected and uncontrolled fear. His pace began to drag, the soles of his feet, one long scuffling sound, followed by another. When his memory failed to deliver the information he needed, he tried logic and deduction. He quickly dismissed claustrophobia and natural caution and fear of the dark. Trying to see through the fog of his emotions, he recalled his visions with dispassionate analysis. But still, his scraping feet sounded like the backdrop to a condemned man's walk. This was his place. This is where they went to learn.
They have to learn.
This is where he took his mother, Tess. This thought kindled his anger, muffled his fear. Wherever lay ahead, gouged at a dormant and diseased lump stirring slowly in his soul. This is where the chairs were, the home of his pain. This was his lair. He knew all this, but still the memory refused to crawl from under its rock. Ahead, the tunnel walls fanned out and vanished. Tom paused on a half-dragged foot and turned his head from side to side. He removed the torch from his forehead and held it before him with his left hand, but the beam disappeared to a black hole. He shone it on the floor, noting the undisturbed dust of passing years, pushed the light out and up, sweeping it left and right to take in the chamber he was about to enter. And he felt it then too, a sense of openness, a blind man with one foot over the edge of a cliff. That foot scraped forward, and he stepped into the cave. But as he probed the torch ahead of him, he sensed something strange about the quality of the darkness beyond the beam. Pointing the torch to the side as he peered ahead, the void did not seem as black as it did when the glare had reflected into his eyes. He cupped the glass with his hand, smothering the light, but the cavern became brighter instead of blacker. With trembling fingers, he twisted the top and killed the beam. Second by second, the darkness drifted away to reveal a continuous and directionless wash of light that seemed to come from the walls, the floor, the ceiling, and even the very air itself. It was everywhere and nowhere at all. He moved forward, his feet still dragging, the loathing for the place tugging on his back. But the light brought with it a kindling of the memory he searched for. He looked around and saw a wooden table against the wall to his right, dust an inch thick. Something scurried to his left. It was so close that when he swiveled his head, he was surprised to see nothing. There was nowhere for the creature to hide, but no matter how he stared, the animal remained invisible. More curious than frightened by some imaginary ghost rat, Tom continued the scan. A jumble of artifacts littered the table. Books, a pen, an empty ink jar, test tubes, needles. To the left of the table, covering an area of wall stretching over 30 feet, was a homemade bookcase, complete with an array of ancient volumes. He picked one at random and opened it. The pages were blank. He tried another, and it too was filled with page after page of nothingness. He flicked from cover to cover, felt the dust fill the air as he dislodged volume after volume, the roughness of thick fabric, the heft of each tome in his hands. The book stretched upwards to the ceiling, 4 meters away. He climbed a shelf and stretched higher, knocking the objects in the clouds of dust as he swept his hand over the top shelf, grabbing another as he tumbled backwards to the book-strewn floor. Lying there, he looked at the prize in his hand, felt the insane knowledge of what he was going to discover as he opened it, and saw the empty pages turn and turn and turn. Staggering to his feet, Tom looked around at the rest of the space and caught his breath. He had expected to see it, but when he did, the insanity of keeping 1,000 books of nothing faded to the background and he almost vomited on the spot. Stumbling over the scattered remains from the dislodged shelves, he walked forward in a bemused and terrified daze. A small archway led into another chamber from the wall opposite the bookshelves, and there he saw what had to be there. He craned his neck as he walked. Water flowed, the sound sudden thunder in the echo chamber of his head. He couldn't actually see them at first, but that did not stop the grip the image had on him as he closed the distance between him and his nightmare. What he did see was a small pool, surrounded by a lip of rock. He remembered it then, as if he was now walking towards it beside Tess, knowing what was to happen next. He would soon see the opening at the base of the artificial pond, the water gushing from the wall at one end, filling the pool and breaking through the gap to continue its journey out the mountain, past the cottage and into the sea. He could see nothing of this, but knew it just the same. And then he was there, standing in the archway, looking at the strange high-backed chairs, and the buzzing in his head pushed him to his knees and threatened to give him what he thought he wanted. Memories. DreamWorks.com.